I had to work real hard to get that picture of Ross, but oh, me. He asked for that. Okay. We're glad you're here today. I know that we have several visitors, and we're thankful for your presence, thankful for the presence of all of our members, and we hope and pray that we can worship God together today, that the words that I have to speak today will also be very applicable in your life. Even the picture of Ross. There was an old man who was rocking away on his porch in his rocking chair. When he rocked, the chair squeaked very loudly. And after several attempts to get rid of the squeaks in the chair, the angry man went into his house and got his shotgun and shot the chair into splinters. And the old man walked away smugly from the chair, but he still heard the loud squeaks. He was embarrassed to learn that the squeaks were in his knees and not in the chair that he had demolished. There's a passage in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 1 through verse 5, that I want us to look at. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. We talked about this somewhat in our class this morning, but I wanted to reiterate some of those thoughts in our worship service today. I don't usually turn to such a loose paraphrase as the Message, but I happened to read that with this passage, and I decided that I would share that with you at this time. A little different perspective. Don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, "Let me wash your face for you," when your own face is distorted by contempt? It's this whole traveling roadshow mentality all over again, playing a holier-than-thou part instead of just living your part. Wipe that ugly sneer off your own face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. Interesting perspective there. Certainly, I think it gives the same thought, the same meaning, with much different words. I don't know if you've noticed, and you probably have, but there are very few people who will accept responsibility for their own shortcomings. And Jesus knew this better than anyone. When Jesus came in the flesh on this earth, he summarized his role as speaking precisely that which his Father had taught him and doing nothing by his own initiative. But when Jesus exercised his God-given authority, the religious leaders of his day accused the very Son of God of blaspheming God himself. And we need to understand that the word blasphemy or blaspheming is a word that should be interpreted as speak against. Speak evil against, usually, it is thought of in the New Testament terminology. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes were the learned religious men of the day. They studied and they executed the law of Moses every day. They presumed to know the law and to apply it in their lives, even though sometimes they did not, and in the lives of the common people as well. But Jesus often demonstrated to them that they were ignorant of God's laws. So can you imagine a man who was, in their mind, an unlearned, untaught, uneducated man is accusing them of not knowing the law, even though they had spent years in studying the law? Jesus said in John chapter 5, beginning in verse 43, "I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from another, from one another, and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, and that is Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" In our great political divisiveness today, each side blames the other with their supposedly witty spins until both sides look rather foolish. But there is this kind of finger pointing. As you point that index finger, three of those come back to you, as you know. It's this kind of finger pointing in every area of life. It's in families. It's in the workplace. And yes, even in some churches. I think of some of the things that have happened in our history, recent history of our country. I think of the young man from Covington School as they were there for a pro-life rally in Washington, D.C. in January 2019. And all of the media showed this where it looked like, and when I first saw it, I thought the same thing, where it looked like the young man was confronting the Indian who had the tambourine. But when the truth was known, it was the opposite. The young man was not confronting the older man, but instead he was smiling at him and really didn't say much of anything to him. But it was the older man with the tambourine who was provoking or trying to provoke the young man, and we certainly should applaud him for keeping his cool in those circumstances. But Jesus clearly taught in this passage that we need to carefully examine ourselves before we put the magnifying glass to other people. Now, did Jesus condemn all kinds of judgments? We had a pretty good discourse on that in our Bible class this morning. Jesus' brothers taunted him to attend the Feast of the Tabernacles in Jerusalem in order to show his works, John chapter 7 and verse 3. But Jesus said that his time had not yet come, chapter 7, verse 6. And later he went on to Jerusalem, but he went there secretly. Jesus had a polarizing effect on people then, even as he does today. There are many people who claim to be followers of Jesus today, and there are others who can't stand the thought of Jesus. He's not my Savior. He's not God. He's not the Son of God. Well, some people in that day said that he was good, just like some people today say. And there were other people who claimed that he deceived the people, John chapter 7 and verse 12. When Jesus went to the temple and taught, we're told in John chapter 7, beginning verse 15, the Jews marveled, saying, "How does this man know letters, having never studied?" And Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me." He knew the will of God. He came from heaven. He explained the will of God to the people of his day. And those people marveled. And there are other verses that say that they were amazed at Jesus. Again, here was a man that was in their eyes uneducated, and yet he knew all of these things. How intelligent he was. Not only did he know the law of God, but he also knew the very thoughts and the very intentions of people. He rebuked the leaders for accusing him of violating the Sabbath by healing a man on Sabbath day. Then he made a statement that there are some judgments that man needs to make. Yet he also qualified such judgments. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. In Matthew 7, verse 1, Jesus did not eliminate all types of judgments, but only unrighteous judgments. Have you ever sized people up when you first met them or talked with them, only to later learn that you had misjudged them? I dare say that every one of us has probably done that at some time or the other. There's a story about an elderly woman who was a Christian. And there was a family who attended the same church as she did, and they happened to be driving by her house one day, and they saw the woman staggering to her car. And they assumed that she had been drinking. They told other members of that church what they saw or what they thought they saw. But later they learned the woman had been having some serious problems with her prescription medicines. Sometimes things are not the way they appear. And Jesus warns us against unhealthy exercise, that is, jumping to conclusions. But Jesus was not saying that we have to be perfect in order to make righteous judgments. In this same chapter where Jesus said not to judge, he also said we will know the character of people by the way in which they live. Jesus said in Matthew 7, beginning verse 15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. We can look at people's lives. We can see the fruit of their lives, and we can know whether they are truly living the way that God wants them to live or whether they are not. But we first need to look within ourselves. You know, there are judgments we need to make on a daily basis. Is the person or the business that we are dealing with honest and transparent? Do we love our family member or friend enough to confront him or her with their ungodly behavior in order to try to save their souls? Is a teacher or a preacher a false prophet or one who shares the whole counsel of God in truth and in spirit? Do elders in the Lord's church have the authority and responsibility to lovingly correct the sheep under their care? And do you and I have the courage to honestly examine ourselves to determine if we are right with God? Paul wrote in the Corinthian letter, he said, test yourselves, examine yourselves. This should be something that we do on a daily basis. Are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we living the kind of life that God has told us to live? It's important to remember that Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 3, in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So certainly we are to be careful. Do we want people to approach us with a condemnatory spirit or with a merciful spirit? In the Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, Matthew 5 and verse 7. And he also said in Luke 6, beginning verse 35, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. When I attended the Preston Road School of Preaching in Dallas many years ago, Robert S. Bell was one of the elders in the Preston Road Church of Christ. Some of you may know of him. I think I've mentioned him before. He was the founder and the chairman of the board of Wyatt Cafeterias. He was a very wealthy man, but he was a very humble man. I was privileged to sit at his feet one day when he taught a class in the work of the preacher. And there were a couple of things that he said on that occasion that really stuck with me. And one was that when he would, between Bible classes and worship services, he would often go outside and smoke a cigarette. And there was a young girl that when he and his wife went and visited in that home, she said something about, well, it's okay for my daddy to smoke because Brother Bell smokes. And boy, that hit him right between the eyes. He realized what kind of an influence he was exerting on that young lady and on others as well. And from that moment forward, he never touched another cigarette. He had a great willpower. He also had a great spiritual strength. But the thing that I want to share with you even more, and those of you who were in class, is this is where you need to pay attention, okay? He shared his approach to members of the church who were moving away from the Lord. He and another elder would go to their home, and of course they would engage in some small talk, and then Brother Bell would open his Bible, and he would read an appropriate passage, maybe sometimes even the prodigal son. He or the elder would then say a prayer, and then with some other small talk, they would get up and they would leave. He didn't preach a sermon. He didn't condemn them. He just read the Bible. He said that a number of people had returned to their first love as a result of this merciful approach. He let God's word do the talking. Maybe that's a good approach for us, to let God's word do the talking. I know that I shared with you on one other occasion, I can't remember if it was from the pulpit or in class, but there was a lady in a place where I preached one other time, and she came up to me one time and she said, "John, do you know how I was converted?" I said, "No, I really don't." And she said, "Well, we had a preacher at that time that every time that I had a question, I wasn't a member of the church. I married my husband, who was a member of the church, attended here, but I wasn't a member." And she said, "Every time I had a question, I would go to that preacher sometime before services or after services, and I would ask him, 'What is the answer to this question?' And every time he opened the Bible and said, 'Here, read right here.'" And she did this for several years until finally she knew that whatever question she had was going to be answered in the Bible. She began to look for those answers herself and later became a Christian, very strong Christian. God's word is more than adequate. God's word is powerful. If we just let it live in our lives, and if we will show other people the way to look into their own Bibles and see the truths for themselves. Don't shoot the squeaky chair. Just make sure that you look at your own life. Make sure that you're living an exemplary life. You won't live a perfect life, and we all know that, but make sure you're living a Christian exemplary life for others, and then help them to learn the truths of God as well. If there's anyone this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this would be a wonderful time, a time not to put it off any longer. If you need to be baptized into Christ, we can certainly do that this very morning. If you need the prayers of those who are members of this congregation, we'll pray for you. We will encourage you, help you in any way we can. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.